passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show. Boy, this is a this is going to be a very interesting show. We're waiting for our guests to come in, but we're going to get started. There's been an awful lot going on, and so we're going to have a lot to talk about tonight. There's a lot of people in a lot of different places that are deciding that even though the elections are over, they should still be hating each other. And I'm not exactly sure when is the shelf life of hate, but I think we have to recognize hate as hate as hate.
Hello, you've reached the phone.
And so I think it's important that people realize that no matter how justified you feel in your hate, especially when you're hating the haters, that in actuality, hate begets hate, begets hate, begets hate. And they have as much right to their hate as you do. And they feel as justified in their hate as you do. And so it's really important to remember that when you decide that somebody is hate worthy, that you're basically feeding the hate monster. And that's exactly what it is. It's a hate monster. And the more we feed it, the bigger it gets. And the bigger it gets, the more damage it gets. The more damage it does, the more violence that will happen. A lot of things are going to happen when we feed the hate monster. And we really have to not feed the hate monster. And the hate monster's, you know, I'm going to call him a paternal twin, is fear. Because people that are hating are people that are in fear. They're in fear of something. And there was a lot of people that made choices this last week that made a lot of other people unhappy, and it was going to happen anyways. But that means that there's a lot of hate. That means there's a lot of fear. That means that there's a lot of lack of compassion going on in the world, and in the world that we call the U.S. of A. Though, you know, I see this thing about divide, you know, instead of the United States of America, the divided states of America. Well, yeah, they're always going to be divided. They were divided before they even became a country. There were great battles that went on that, before the Declaration of Independence could be signed, before they could actually get together and do that. There were people that felt like they sold little pieces of their soul with the idea that there was a bigger piece coming down the road. There was an absolute bigger piece coming down the road. All I want to see over the next several years is, at the very least, consistency. Consistency of, if you're going to take a stand based on the wisdom of the founding fathers, which is a lot of what Trump is saying. Yes, I said the word Trump. Was he my first choice? No. But am I going to hate the people whose first choice he was? No. Because it's bad enough that some of those people hate me and they don't even know me. In fact, none of them probably know me. They don't even want to know me. I scare them. But I understand that when somebody is frightened, when they're fearful, when they're scared, that they make sometimes bad choices. And there is an enormous amount of ability to ignore what you don't want to see. You know, that people are very selective and that they're only going to look at and believe the stuff that supports their reality. Well, that's lazy thinking. Actually, it's a lack of thinking. And there's a lot of lack of thinking. And, you know, there's a lot of lack of thinking, and it is not just in red states or in rednecks, And not all the people that voted for Trump are rednecks. And he, quote unquote, turned some blue states. Personally, I think that red states and blue states are the first thing we should try to get rid of. And one of the things that we want to look at that does great damage to this country. But this country is a wounded puppy right now. And I'm afraid that wound is going to get even deeper. And there's going to be an even greater divide of families and friendships. Recently on the Web of Light TV show that I do on a weekly basis, and if you are interested, you can go to YouTube.com/mydrkevin, M-Y-D-R-K-E-V-I-N, and you will find the YouTube channel that I house the shows on after they've been on air. Or we may be in your local area because we are picking up new markets every day. But there was the Thomas Jefferson quote, and I don't have it in front of me, and I can't tell you exactly what it was, but basically that politics should never cost friendships. Politics or religion should never be the reason for the destruction of a friendship. And yet, I see friendships getting destructed. I see people getting very polarized. I'm not sure that this country has ever been so polarized since the Civil War. And, you know, and there is some definitely open warfare type stuff going on in the streets. But we have to try to have some understanding. We have to have some compassion. Doesn't mean we don't need to have boundaries. We don't need to stand up for what we believe in. We don't need to fight in civil ways. Instead of civil wars, civil ways, that we need to be able to get people to open up, to help people actually, everybody feels empowered. Everybody feels like they're truly a part. We had a very large swath of disenfranchised Americans that felt like the America that they knew, the American dream they were promised, the American life that they may have had for generations, had all been sucked away. And it had been sucked away by that evil monster, Washington, D.C. And whether you're conservative or liberal, whether you're a, you know, $1,000 suit Wall Street broker or a farmer in Kansas, you've all said at one point or another when something happened that you didn't like that had the name of the federal government attached to it, that Washington was a swamp, that something has to happen, that something needs to shift, that something needs to change, and they're all a bunch of crooks. Come on, own up to it. Own up to it. And there's some truth into that. There is a lot of corruption in Washington. And I did in my morning coffee post the day after the election that in some ways, I've been putting out a hashtag for a few years now, who owns Washington? I keep on saying, we need to have term limits. We need to get rid of lobbyists. We need to make changes that doesn't allow for the cronyism that goes on into it. And some people, and everybody said it, outside of the Washington, D.C. Beltway, and probably inside of the Washington, D.C. Beltway, but definitely outside of the Washington, D.C. Beltway, everybody has said it at one point or another, or thought it, that Washington is corrupt, that Washington is ruining America, that there are too many favors, that there are too many special interests, that there are too many things that get put on back burners, that get snuck through. Yes. Once again, we are freezing the federal government wages, or we're freezing Social Security. We can't afford to pay any more money to our veterans. We can't afford to pay any more money to our old folks. We can't afford to pay any more money to the people that are struggling, that are on disabilities. We can't afford any of these programs. We can't afford any of this stuff. Oh, let's give Congress a raise, shall we? 3 years in a row. So don't tell me that you, whether you are a bastion of liberalism, haven't complained about the fact that Washington screws us. They get together, and I'm going to say, and become a good old boys club and a good old girls club now. They have boys and girls, and they, you know, and everybody says that they're fighting for their district, or they're fighting for their state, or they're fighting for their people. But Washington is an expensive sewer to live in. Getting elected is way more expensive than it should be. You know, if everybody didn't have to raise millions of dollars to run a campaign to get elected for any national level job, then they wouldn't have to take bribes. They wouldn't have to be owned by somebody. And some of these disenfranchised people, they clearly saw, they clearly got that in their mind, no matter what stupid thing he said, and he said plenty of them, no matter what stupid thing he did, and he did plenty of them, no matter how much he is anything but a role model for fundamental Christianity, though they backed him, you know, as their hero in many cases, they ignored tons of stuff because they saw him as other than the sewer of Washington. They saw him as someone who would go in and clean things up, which is what he promised to do. And they who am I going to pick? Somebody that's a Beltway babe and has been for years and years. And I was and continue to be a Hillary Clinton fan. And I don't want to talk about it. I don't need to justify my point to anybody, and I'm not here to justify my point. I voted for the Beltway babe, okay? But at the end of the day, many people felt very disenfranchised.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show. Remember, we are a live call-in show now, and you can call in and be part of this dialogue, part of this conversation if you would like to. Thank you. And our guest has just arrived, and I'm going to introduce him in just a moment. But we do, again, encourage you to call in and join the show. And ask questions of me or my guest. You know, express what you feel like is going on, and we'd love to hear from you. Today's guest is James Stern. James was born and raised in a tough neighborhood of Watts in Los Angeles. A former community activist, Stern has always been a peace broker to the segmented fractions of the community. Unlike some of the kids in Watts, Stern had options. His father, George Stern, was the largest landowner in Watts, owning duplexes, single-family homes, and apartment buildings. In 1995, the family sold all the land in Watts and moved to Bel Air Crest. The elder Stern sent his son to college, and James Stern received a bachelor's degree in theology from the private Christian college Biola University in La Mirada. I just really mispronounced that. California, along with additional studies from Grace Bible Institute in Long Beach, California, and New Providence Theological Seminary in Los Angeles. So that's enough about James for the moment, though we'll tell you more in future segments. James, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me okay?
You're a little light. I don't know if you can up your mic at all, but I can hear you.
How's that? Is that better?
Yeah, that's a little better.
Okay.
So, James, you know, normally I start this segment with asking you to take my listeners outside the box.
Okay.
But we're going to do it a little different because just because we had the mess up at the beginning of the show. And so I spent the first segment talking about how it was the disenfranchised people of America who have really had it with Washington, D.C., that was responsible for this presidential upset. You know, and I'm trying not in this show to get into the politics of it. It's more about, I would love to hear your perspective as somebody who has been working with fragmented societies, and explain a little bit more about that. But how deep is this wound? How fragmented and disenfranchised is America? And can we heal it? So those are my opening questions to you. Just light ones.
thank you for being so light on me. And, you know, it's an honor. I'm sorry. Please forgive me for – I travel 120 miles to the studio every day that I – we're in production of a movie. So I apologize for that. And it's no excuse for being late, but I do apologize for that. Yes, this society is definitely in a unique situation. You have a very angry society of people of politics in Washington, D.C. And – I'm sorry you brought me on the show because I don't mix my words. Either I say something or I don't. And I'm going to say that a lot of people in America just had it with 30 years of the Clintons. You know, just simple as that. I'm an African-American man. I remember in the 1980s when President Clinton signed a crime bill. People don't realize that that crime bill that President Clinton signed put almost all the African-American men in prison unfairly. And so, you know, no one's done anything about it. Mrs. Clinton's been in office for 30 years. She's had plenty of time to repeal that bill. So, therefore, I can say that we just got tired of the mess. Mr. Trump, is he a schoolboy? Is he a choir boy? We don't even know his politics because he's never been into public office before. We just know that people are so tired of the same old in Washington. They were ready for a change, a real change. And even if the change has no track record. So, yes, you have very angry people out there. I would have loved to have the first lady president as a woman. You know, I have a daughter. I would love her to see that. That would have been great. But it can't be at the expense of what's best for the public, you know, what's best for this country. And right now, do I think Donald Trump is best for this country? I can't say he's best for this country, but I have to say that America has spoken. And so now we have to get behind him and heal the wounds.
Well, you know, and that's going to be a lot easier said than done. You know, again, unfortunately, and don't worry about it. I don't say this to as, oh, you were late. It doesn't make any difference at this point. But in the first segment, as I was, you know, because talking to my listeners on air, part of what we're looking at, you know, our deep wounds, I completely get that the Washington, D.C. sewer needs to get cleaned up. There's not a single person that's outside of the Beltway of Washington, D.C. that at some point or another hasn't thought our government is corrupt, our government is broken, our government there is something wrong with. Right. And there's a lot of backdoor dealings and stuff like this. I personally have been a Hillary fan, that I think that oftentimes she does as much as she can get done.
I totally agree with you with the
hurdles that she had, and that's why I wasn't so much into that. I mean, do I have some concerns that Donald Trump is a lousy role model in the way that he deals with religions other than his own, women, race?
Yeah, a lot of issues. Exactly.
Not a good public role model of any kind. But if he can actually go in and clean up the swamp that is Washington, and I'm going to say this with one codicil, if he will do that and stay out of my bedroom, I will be happy to have him president.
And, you know, can I tell you one thing? I tell my daughter about the word role model. There was a basketball player named Shaquille O'Neal. Do you remember him?
Oh, yeah.
He was on television one day, and he was playing ball, and he was mad, and he said, you could tell from his expression, he said the S-H-I-T word, okay? Yeah, and they got on him for saying, you can't be doing that on television. You're a role model. He stopped the whole press conference and said, no. He said, I'm not a role model. I'm a basketball player. He says, that's the facts of it. He says, stop trying to make role models of society morals out of basketball players and sports figures. I tell my daughter, the president of the United States is a politician running the highest office of this country that should have some moral standings to it, but at the end of the day, he's not your role model. He's a man who puts on his pants or a woman who puts on her clothes one leg at a time like everybody else. So,
yep.
No, I expect my politician, my president, to do what's best politically in government, in policies and laws, what's best for this country. His personal life at home, it should have some moral standing. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But
well, and, you know, the thing is, and I do want to, I want to make sure that we spend some time and explain to people a little bit more about exactly what you do, because, I mean, I read your bio as you sent it, but I don't know that it's crystal clear exactly. And listeners, remember, it's a call-in show, and also you can go to facebook.com/mydrkevin. I have a picture of James and a full write-up about him and a connection to his website, jamesstern.com. But I do want you to talk a little bit more about the work you've done, because you've done some incredible work.
Thank you.
But part of this, James, is that I agree. We should not be making sports figures role models. We should not be making politicians role models, because if we're depending on the moral fiber and ethics and values based on that two groups, we're, you know, a hell in a handbasket.
Exactly.
As my grandmother used to say. That's where we're headed, because the pressure that they're under brings out their worst qualities, and then media, don't even get me started on media. Media is so it's going to be interesting. I have a lot of hopes. The thing is, I don't want to have a double standard. You know, Donald Trump has come out and said he's protecting the Constitution, and it says this about guns, and he's protecting it, and they will not be, and that this is a constitutional mandate, and that guns do not get limited. Well, it is also a constitutional mandate that there is a separation of church and state, and I am tired of people trying to make the political office of president something you have to be a saint to get into, and that you're supposed to run like a temple or a church or whatever. They're there,
right,
for the business of running the company, the country, and
government,
and
right.
I'm hoping that that's what Trump actually does, then he'll go up several notches in my book.
That's all that should be necessary. As he runs his corporations, which has been very successful, and you can only judge a man by his failures. If you fall and you can't get back up, then you're not a very good leader. He has fallen in business. He's been to bankruptcy and utilized to his best advantage. So if he runs this country that clearly has its issues, I hope I'll start judging him when he's inaugurated, you know, on his politics, you know, based on that day. Right now, I don't know his politics. None of us do.
He just put out his first 100-day plan of the priorities of what he wants to do. And one of his first priorities is about term limits and getting term limits into Congress. Now, Harry Reid, the Republican leader of the House, right? Senate, uh-huh. Has already said that the Republicans will not support him in creating term limits.
Of course, because they're career politicians, got their pensions, they're making money, it's their life, you know. It's not what's best for the country, it's just what's best for their livelihood, you know. Get an alternative career. When you go into office, you should be ready to go into office, serve, and then get out of office and let somebody else take the office, and you have another job. Don't make this your job and lock everybody else out because you have all these backdoor deals and stuff going on. That's what's really going on.
So we're going to be hearing the music in about 35 seconds, which I have no control over. And when we begin our next segment, I do want you to share some of the work that you've done.
Okay.
And do you have a concern? Because people can't tell by your voice, and they haven't gone. If they haven't gone to the website, they don't know that James is now. Do you prefer African American? Do you prefer Black? Do you prefer, what do you prefer?
Not being called late to dinner. Anything other than that.
Okay.
I'm actually my father's Ethiopian. My father's Ethiopian Orthodox Jew. So
I was completely wrong.
Not much.
We'll be right back.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Have you been searching for a perspective beyond the mainstream? Check it out. Join your hosts, Yelito Pascual and Diana Gold Holland, on Share International Radio for thought-provoking views behind the news. Sundays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on Om Times Radio. You can also find us at shareontheairradio.org. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing and a summer evening. It's everybody over for Sunday dinner and your family sleeping in their own beds at night. Making home affordable is a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show, where we challenge everything and everyone. Today's guest is James Stern. James is a natural computer whiz. He took classes in computer science at El Camino College, community college in Torrance, California. But growing up in the 1980s, Stern watched as his friends and family died of crack cocaine and drive-by shootings while friction with warring gangs. that is the Crisp and the Bloods, escalated. He knew all the drug kingpins by name, like Freeway Ricky Ross and Michael Harry O'Harris of Death Row Records. Yet he stayed clear and neutral of any gang-related activity. And when he finished his seminary studies, he returned home with a vow to make a difference in his community. You can find out more about James at thejamesstern.com. This is also a live call-in show, so if you have questions for me or for James, you can call in at 202-570-7057 or come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, M-Y-D-R-K-E-V-A-N, and you can see the full write-up of James, his picture, and a click-through to his website. So, James, do you have any concerns that that we have an incoming president that many people have accused of being racist? Is he? Do you think he's racist? And does that have concerns for you?
No, it doesn't have concerns for me, only because let me just be honest with you. Before he ran for president, Donald Trump was considered a celebrity. We all liked him as a business mogul and celebrity, apprentice show. As an African-American, we have never heard him say anything about us as black people, negative, not one time. Okay, he has made comments about building a wall and illegal immigrants, sending them back. But no one can ever pull out any footage about him saying anything negative about black people as African Americans. He does have a segment of people that support him that's highly racist. We know that. That's not a secret. Okay, so does that make him a racist? I don't see him a racist. I really don't. I see people getting really geared up during a political time, which, people fight it out, they win office. Now that he's in office, let's find out if he's a racist. We'll find out with his policies and procedures who Mr. Trump really is. We just don't know.
I have pointed that same thing out. When people have gone into who Trump the candidate is versus who is Trump who President Trump is going to be. There's a big question there. And so you say that there's no evidence out there. I haven't searched it down. And I have said, because he's supported by the KKK does not mean he supports the KKK. It does not automatically mean both ways. I really want America to judge this man on his actions, and I want to see how much of the stuff that he does, that he tries to do, that's good, because Obama had a lot of stuff that he tried to do that was good, and Congress just completely, obliterated him. And yeah. I think that when he goes to clean out the sewer we call Washington, I think that Congress, even though it's in quote-unquote Republican control, is still going to block him. And how is he going to deal with it?
Let me bring one thing to your attention. I'm a black man. Remember, when I was incarcerated with the Imperial Wizard of the KKK, he was so impressed with me, he tried to make me the first black Imperial Wizard of the KKK. So just because the actual Imperial Wizard supported me and liked me didn't make me a racist and didn't support them. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely. No, I agree with you. So tell my listening audience more about what you're doing now and what you've done.
The backstory is I was actually a victim of identity theft, and I was extradited to Mississippi on a charge of corporate wire fraud in 2004. And when I was extradited there, to bring it up to present times, I was charged with corporate wire fraud, and when I got there, it took them 2 years, 6 months to get me from California to Mississippi. When I got there, I was given a 25-year sentence without a trial. I mean, the judge says you're sentenced to 25 years, basically. Take them away, depart from penitentiary, the worst person in the country. I said, whoa, 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 hey, stop. I said, a trial, something, the Constitution? And it, to no prevail, I was taken to prison. Fast forward, I appealed my case as my own attorney because I had no lawyer that would represent me. I had no family there. I had no ties there. No one wanted to touch me because I was being prosecuted by the attorney general. And so when I was put in Parchman Penitentiary, I was fighting very vigorously and got my case to the federal court because the state court was too corrupt. And just to let you know, to this very day, The commissioner of the Department of Correction is going to prison for 27 years behind my case. So I'm proud to say that I did some justice in exposing all the corruption in Mississippi that was going on. But when I got to 25 years, I was put in a cell with – I was coming home from court one day, and they told me, do you know Edgar Ray Killen? I said, no, I don't know him. They said, have you heard of the movie Mississippi Burning? I've heard of the movie, Dr. Kevin, but I've never seen it. They said, you've never heard of the movie Mississippi Burning? I said, no. I said, I've only heard of the movie, but I've never seen it. They said, he'll do. I said, okay, I'll do what? They said, congratulations, you're the new cellmate of Edgar Ray Killen. Now, I didn't know who this man was. All I know is I'm in prison with the worst of the worst, so what's another inmate to me? And when I got into my cell, we call a room, I was approached by this man who I later learned was the Imperial Wizard of the KKK, who had a little over 4 million followers under him at one time. Now, mind you that this was a very dangerous, shrewd man. He was the one who killed and convicted of the Goodman, Cheney, and Swanner murders. We know it's the Mississippi Burning murders. And I was in cell with him for a year and 6 months. They put me in there with him because they figured he stood a chance staying alive. All the black people wanted to kill him. From wardens to captains wanted to kill him, you know, African Americans. So they trusted me a little more because I was fighting to go home. So they knew I wasn't going to touch the man because I'm trying to get up out of there and get back to California. So they felt he was safe with me. And in the process of being in a cell with this man, I stayed very mutually quiet. He called me everything but a black man. If you go to my website, thejamesturn.com, you can see some news footages and the things that, you know, transpired. I basically didn't respond, Dr. Kevin. That's what made him like me. He didn't know how I really felt. I just stayed quiet. He was fighting, trying to get out of prison. He eventually wrote me 174 letters confessing to every murder he ever did. He named dates, times, and places. He signed over his powers of attorney to me. And then he gave me his 41 acres of property, which I'm now auctioning off 1 acre at a time in raffles as retribution and giving the money to nonprofit organizations for racial reconciliation. So this is the story of what happened. Nobody can believe that this man, the most hated person of the KKK, could actually befriend a black man and tell all his secrets to it. He signed all his book rights over to me, his movie rights to me, and he was so impressed with my education of the Bible, biblically, that he eventually wrote to Cole Thornton, who's another imperial wizard of the KKK, and asked him to accept me as the first black imperial wizard of the KKK. They wrote me letters trying to recruit me. It made no sense that you hate black people so bad, but you want a black man to be in your organization. The truth came out that they were trying to be sneaky. If I would have accepted such a ludicrous proposal, they know that the world would have been doing a lot of talking about who is this black man who accepted this crazy proposal. And that would allow them to be able to do other dirty stuff. While you guys were focusing on me, they would have been able to get away with other stuff, if that makes any sense.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's basically the story within the process. Naturally, he told me about all the dirty secrets of the KKK. I know all the players. I know all the names. I know all the most powerful political families of the South who are actually members. Right now, because there's a book and a movie coming out on my life story and all the stuff is going to be in it, there's a lot of very fearful families out there that have very strong political names who are worried about what am I putting in as the content of the screenplay. You know, are we naming them? Are we telling their secrets? And the letters I have are all, just so you know, they're going to the Smithsonian Institute. They've all been authenticated by the best handwriting experts in the country. Edgar Ray Killen himself admitted that he wrote the letters, and he told me all this stuff. So it's beyond reproach. I even know his wife life writes. You know, and that's another crazy story. So that's basically it.
So you're making this movie. You're exposing this underbelly of ugliness, which, you know, there is, you know, you want to talk about an elephant in the middle of the room. We're talking a brontosaurus okay. that's been going on. Well, because it's as old as a dinosaur, and it's much larger than an elephant when you look at all of the people that actually have levels and layers of involvement.
Right. 1865 it started, actually. You're right. It goes way back. Yes, it does.
As soon as African Americans were freed, quote unquote, it began.
Right. Right. Exactly. Right at the school.
Yep. Yep. And as I'm sure you're aware of, Jefferson actually tried to eliminate slavery in the Declaration of Independence, and the South wouldn't sign it if they did. Even though he himself owned slaves, he felt like you can't say that we're a country of free men and have some men as slaves. It went against his value system.
Right. The good thing that came out of it was that because I actually was awarded his powers of attorney, the attorney in fact signature, I used that signature, and around January of this year, we officially disbanded legally the KKK. Legally, they have been legally disbanded. Then we found out because of that disbanding that the KKK has never been a legal group or organization in this country. They have no charter. They have no incorporation. They have nothing. Then we later got the Attorney General to join with us, and we got them actually listed at a summit meeting as a domestic terrorist group and a criminal street gang. So that's their official title as it stands right now. They are official domestic terrorist group and a criminal street gang. They have no legal standing in this country one way or another. All the permits that police officers, police departments was giving them to march was not right, because you can't give a group that does criminal activity a permit to do anything. The Constitution does not support criminal activity. Even the mafia had no legal standing. And just so you can know, I got the Attorney General to use the RICO Act, commit the RICO Act against them. If they do anything at this point, which it should have been used, they are under the RICO Act. So if one group of their members do anything, the whole KKK organization will be prosecuted for it.
Okay, and that sound is coming up that says we're going to be on break, and we'll be back in a moment with James Stern at thejamesstern.com.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. The majority of victims know their attacker. It could be your friend, your neighbor, or someone you met at a party. If you said no, it's rape and it's a crime. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Call the National Sexual Assault Hotline today at 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show. We're having a very interesting and different Dr. Kevin Show today, which is fine with me because I always like to change it up. We have today James Stern at thejamesstern.com. Remember, we are a live call-in show, and James has a fascinating story that he's telling and also has a movie that he's in the middle of having made that's coming out about his life and about how a black man kind of sort of infiltrated the KKK is how I want to put it. Even though you didn't go become a member of the organization, you infiltrated through association and get your hands on lots of stuff. Now, I was thinking if you had said, sure, I'll join the KKK or I'll be a high whatever, it would have brought a lot of attention to which you could have said, you know, hey, I studied theology. I was going into the den of lions to show them that black people were good and blah, 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 blah. Now get me the hell out of jail.
Yeah. Well, because I studied theology and because I really believe in God, there is no way I could ever speak that out of my mouth. That was just a non-possibility. But I like to say this very candidly. What I've gone through, I had some huge tragedies, Dr. Kevin. The day that I was sentenced to prison in Mississippi, they reported it on the news out here in California. And my son heard it. He was 22 years old. And he got depressed for 3 days and went into his room and came out on the third day and kissed his mom. And he walked back into his room and shot himself in the head with a suicide note saying, I lost my dad for life. My mother died 5 months later of a heart attack, and Dr. Kevin, I needed to make one simple phone call to the mortuary just to put her in her grave that we owned at Inglewood Cemetery, paid for. And I wasn't able to make that call because the system was so corrupt and so vindictive toward me. The coroner kept her body as long as they could, and eventually cremated it and spread her ashes on a pauper's grave. So I even to this very day have a grave that my mom would never be in. So I took some serious losses, but it made me do some soul searching. And I'm going to tell you this, Dr. Kevin. My movement is racial reconciliation. I believe there's only one race, and that's the human race. I believe there's good people and there's bad people. I believe that no matter what our complexion of our skins are, we're still human beings. So all those who want to follow my train of thought, there's only one race, and that's called human race. We're all human beings. And we might have different lifestyles, whether it's economically, socially, culture, sexually, whatever the case may be, at the end of the day, we're still just human beings. And we're combined by a thread called mutual respect. No matter what you do in your bedroom at nighttime and I do in mine, it's nobody's business. It's our own bedrooms. When I come out of my house in the daytime and I interact with you, I have to treat you with mutual respect. And we have to get along. No one's going to always think like me. We don't have the same religion. We don't all have the same creeds. But, you know, we have to respect each other. We have to get along. And I implore everybody to just finally come together and let's just be a human race. You know, let's just get along with each other. Let's find some common denominators. And those things we don't agree with, let's just accept. Not everybody's the same. That's a fact.
Nor should they be.
No, variety is beautiful. You're right.
And, you know, I explain this oftentimes, and I've said it on my show before, and I teach it to my students. Which is I look at souls as cells in the body of God. So we are God, but we are not all of God, but we are a cell in the body of God, which means we are God. We are just not all of God. But that means every other person is also a cell in that body. So when you say we only have one race, the human race, to me it's like we only have one God, we have a body of God, and we are all part of it. And depending on where your cell's located, you might have a different religion, you may have a different word for it, you may have a different thing, but we are still part of this whole. And, you know, and I was brought up and am still very active as a Unitarian Universalist, and we are very adamant about social justice and the fact that if a child is being sold into the slave trade in Thailand, or if a child is, or a woman is being sexually mutilated in Chad, or whatever has happened, it hurts all of us. It hurts all of humanity. I don't care. Borders are false. There was no borders. The only thing you could have called a border on this planet was a coastline and a mountain, and they're not really a border. They're just an interruption of the flow.
A landmark, exactly. A landmark. A vilification landmark, exactly. So I just want to leave it to your show, if I can.
Yeah, go ahead.
I got some exciting. You know, I listened to you, and you're. Let me just commend you for your show. I think I hope everybody share your show and you get more listeners. I want to do this. Edgar A. Killen gave me 41 acres of property in Mississippi, Philadelphia, Mississippi. Beautiful property. And we're auctioning off that property 1 acre at a time. And anyone, just go to my website and go to Land Raffle, and you can buy a $20 raffle ticket and win 1 full acre of land. We're going to be doing the first giveaway January 13th, which is coming up less than 60 days. So, you know, encourage your listeners to go and do it. We want that land to be given back to the American people. It was used for evil at one time. I think good families need to have that land. If you can get yourself an acre of land, you can do something wonderful with it.
Well, what I'm going to invite you to do is, even though we have your website on the posting, go into the comment line and write that out, because, I mean, this show is going to replay 6 times. It's going to be available for podcast in the next couple of days. I'm going to get you a link to it so you can send it out. I will put it through my social media. But on the Facebook page, if you put the actual link and the description of the land thing, then I would be more than happy to promote that through my social media stuff. And I do a lot of social media stuff.
Whatever charity that you support, and even if it's just, listen, there's nothing inexpensive about doing a radio show, a fact show, okay? I commend you for having, you stay on the air as you do. If we if you have a charity, or if we can support your giving to support, keep you on the airway, we will put portion of that proceeds toward your radio show. I promise you that. You know, you're worth it. You're a worthy call. I want you to know that.
Well, we have I do a radio show and I do a TV show called Web of Light, which is where we are highlighting nonprofits. It's associated with a nonprofit because I have my own nonprofit foundation, and it is for people and foundations that are weaving webs of light. We're doing a major expo to raise money in April. We do a weekly show that I just actually as now just got picked up in California. So it now goes coast to coast through community access television.
Let me contribute to that. Please do. OK, you got my commitment. You have my contribution to that.
And that's fine. And that's great. And that's wonderful. But I'm a very big believer, and I've traveled all over the world, and I actually teach something called Spiritus Loci, which is the spirit of land. Every piece of, and Spiritus Loci, and I mean, I've taught this from Central America to the Swiss Alps and all through the United States, and how land holds an energy, and spiritually wash land. We can actually take the taint out of it, and we can return it to the beautiful thing that it was originally created to be. The thing that you're using this land, and you're using it as a way to give people a chance and to help people and to move people out, is something that I can get behind, and which is why I said, you put that information on my timeline, and then I'm gonna be putting it out between now and January 13th. And I won't stop pointing it out until I know that it has gotten in front of at least 500,000 people, if not more, because I know that I have that kind of reach in my social media, let alone my radio show and my TV show. That's just my social media. So,
Kevin, I appreciate you. I really do. Thank you. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
I got to ask you. I know you. Let me flip the script. You're the host. Let me play host and you be the guest for a second. What would be the most ideal solution to having racial reconciliation between blacks and whites, in your opinion, in this nation?
I have a definition of what it means to have heaven on earth. And to have heaven on earth is for people to be 100% uniquely who they are. And when we are 100% uniquely who we are, and we make no excuses, we don't have to pretend to be anything else. We don't have to worry that we're going to be punished for being other than somebody else is. That it will end war. It will end violence. You can't compete with anybody else to be the best you. But that means we have right. to have everybody be willing to be them and not some Hollywood version of them, not some Hollywood version of who they're supposed to be because of their race, their gender, their color, their orientation, where they were raised, what their age was. And we have desperately, desperately failed the youth in this country of every color, of every race. We don't teach them to do critical thinking skills. We don't teach them to broaden and have compassion and embrace differences and embrace diversity. And so what do I see as the unification of races? I see the unification of races as one step closer to having heaven on earth.
And you know something, we do know, those who are biblical scholars do know that the Bible says one day, heaven shall be on earth. You saw the heavens come down, and so the meek shall inherit the earth. So I totally agree with you on that, Dr. Kevin. Thank you for that. I really appreciate that. I turn your chair back over to you.
Okay. Well, and we're going to hear the music any minute now, but we're going to keep talking until we hear that music. I hear it. You don't. But when I hear that music, I know they can't hear us anymore. So besides going to the jamesstern.com, are there active programs or something that people could get involved with somewhere? Is there some way to see you speak? When is the movie? And there's the music. Sorry, James. Post the answers to all my questions on the Facebook feed. Did you hear that, James?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I'll let you go, and we'll communicate through email. I've got to get off the station so the next host can come on in.
Dr. Kevin, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Ollie Barrett. US President Barack Obama is welcoming President-elect Donald Trump to the White House for discussions on the transition of administrations. Republican Mr. Trump beat his Democratic rival Hillary Clinton in Tuesday's election, taking a series of key swing states. There have been protests against Donald Trump's coming presidency in a series of US cities. But Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell thinks a unified government of President Trump and a Republican-led Congress can get things done.
We look forward to working with him. I think most of the things that he's likely to advocate, we're going to be enthusiastically for. Where we have differences of opinion, I expect to discuss them privately.
But it won't be that simple, says Donald Green, a politics professor at Columbia University.
He is ideologically heterodox, famously so. And I would say that the real concern is, you know, can he get anything done legislatively, or does he have to act through executive order because he's unable to work cooperatively with the Congress?
Lots more analysis on this story at our Facebook page. Like us there at facebook.com/featurestorynews. A senior Chinese official has been elected head of the Global Police Cooperation Agency, Interpol. Vice Minister of Public Security Meng Hongwei is the first Chinese citizen who's held the four-year post and starts work immediately. A long-awaited reception centre for migrants has opened in northern Paris, close to the site where almost 4,000 people were camping on the street just a week ago. It has just 400 beds. French authorities are trying to house thousands of people following the demolition of the Calais camp, Elena Casas reports.
In recent weeks, Paris has become a refugee crisis flashpoint as thousands of people arrived there following the demolition of the camp in Calais. Almost 4,000 were camping in the street in northern Paris near the Gare du Nord a week ago, before that camp too was demolished and the residents housed in temporary accommodation.